Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hustler.
That would be really weird. Coleman Hustler?
No, not Hustler. Hustler.
Oh,
like
Hustler.
The magazine.
That would be kind of freaky.
That would be a little weird. It would be a little freaky. You're not wrong. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com.
There's so many ways to go. But yeah. We'll just leave it there.
Let's just leave it. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Robbie, this week I enjoyed a fine steak at a place I had not been. I finally made the trip to Columbus to Old Hickory.
Oh, yes.
That's good eating. There,
classic. Classic.
So if you've never been there, they got me with their joke that they play on people, apparently. So they hand you the menu, and they're like, steak's on the back, chicken on the – steak on the front, chicken on the back. I turn the menu over. There's no chicken. It's just steak. Their menu is literally – here are the six steaks that we offer. You're going to get a baked potato, a salad, and some Texas toast. What do you want to drink? That's it. That's the menu. I couldn't have been happier. Had a ribeye steak. It was delicious. Great service. Fine people. That's a place you should check out. One of the great steakhouses we have here in the state of Mississippi. Did you see this video going around, by the way, speaking of steakhouses, of this girl who did the Marshall Steakhouse eating challenge?
No.
Okay, so apparently you go up to Marshall Steakhouse in Holly Springs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to eat 72 ounces of sirloin steak. And it's not like a big steak. They give you like 8 little steaks.
Oh.
That automatically makes it feel like you're eating more. You also have to eat a salad, a loaded baked potato, 6 fried shrimp, and 2 rolls. And you get an hour.
There's no chance.
So the girl in the video, she ate it in like
72 ounces?
She ate everything. She had everything in less than an hour. She said the record up there was 14 minutes. I'm like, what kind of – was that? Was it like a warthog disguised as a human being?
What you do in that instance is you eat so much before your body can start churning.
You got to go quick.
Yeah.
Let your mind get involved. I get it. That was
funneling a beer or something.
Yeah.
But no, like – I can't fathom putting that much food in my stomach.
I have eaten a 2-pound steak before. I've eaten a 32-ounce steak. And I was busted at the end of that.
Oh, yeah.
So
you can't eat that. That's pure fat and gristle.
Look, if I can get a couple of desserts down, you think I get some T-shirts for the kids? What a great movie. I love it so much. Wherever you are. If you want to enjoy food this weekend, if you're cooking out, put beef on the menu. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Hey, kids, you want to go for a ride on Suck My Wake? I was out the other day, and somebody threw a Great Outdoors quote out, and I couldn't have been happier. I was so happy to hear it. They said it was something about I think we're talking about hot dogs. And it's like, you know what those are made of?
Oh, yes. What a classic. Just a classic movie.
So underrated. Nobody ever talks about it. It's a great movie. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I know that you're looking for it. You need to get some new gear with the M over S, the state script, the interlocking MSU. It's all there at College Corner. 2 locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to grab a great lunch this week, go get the Restaurant Tyler Blue Plate. It's the best in town. I think it's the best in the Golden Triangle. It's maybe the best in the state. I love that Blue Plate so much. It's got so many great options. Fried chicken, fried catfish, blackened catfish, fried pork chops. chicken, meatloaf, hamburger steak, great selection of veggies, and, of course, the only cornbread that Brian Haydad likes to eat. It's all right there for you, waiting on you at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have a question about your money, you deserve to get an answer. You deserve it on your schedule, not on somebody else's. You need a bank that's going to provide a different kind of service, a level of service you can't get everywhere, only at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we get into the muck, I want to give a shout out. I didn't get a name, Robbie. I texted you about this, though, but I'm in Kroger on Saturday picking up some stuff. And this guy, he sees me, and I see his eye kind of light up a little bit. He's like, oh, it's him. And as I'm walking past him with my cart, he just goes, 50. He just did it like that. I was cackling as I went past him.
It's become a thing.
It's a thing now. We'll throw it on the list with
We've created several beats. We've created several slogans and
Next step t-shirts. We'll get those up soon.
Before you start, Bill Mercer died. The announcer from World Class Championship Wrestling.
Oh no.
The iconic announcer. He also did a lot of sports. I think he did some sports broadcasting in Dallas.
Yeah.
99 years old.
What a man. He saw a lot.
He was the guy that did, you know, the Freebirds and Von Erichs. He was the voice behind all that. So a legendary guy going 99. That's an impressive run.
Also did play-by-play for University of North Texas. Goes from doing college football on Saturday, and then on Sunday he's talking to Gary Hart.
Yes.
Number one Paul Jones. All right. Let's start with basketball. The women won. Sam Purcell. Let me ask you this question. And we'll not really off topic, but do you feel like we give Sam Purcell a lot more grief than we give Chris Jans when Purcell has basically had the same kind of success? He did miss the tournament once, but he's actually had some success in the tournament. This is his third NCAA tournament win. I don't want to go too far down the road with Jans, but like, are we harder on Purcell than we need to be?
I think so. Here's why.
Is it because
Vic Schaefer set the standard, and that's the comparison that people are making to him. But I don't think that's very fair. Because, first of all, Vic Schaefer did something that was really just iconic in Mississippi State, and it's not something that is really easy to do. And secondly, you know, what he did had never been done before. He created something at Mississippi State that no one had ever done, that no one had ever shown that they could do. And I think people just got in their minds that all of a sudden Mississippi State was – one of the best basketball programs in the country, and they had the resources to do exactly what they did with Vic Schaefer, and that's just not realistic. So, what he's been able to do, specifically this year, I think what he's done this year has been his best coaching job. Because I look back at the schedule, and last year I thought they really kind of screwed the pooch, so to speak, especially to end that year. And there were several games out there that they should have won. This year, there's like two or three games that I could look at and then say, like, they should have won those games. And they win those games, they're probably a seven seed, maybe. They're not that much different from where they are right now. So I already look at this season as a success. He's 22-11. It's his third straight 20-win season, his second NCAA tournament in 3 years. He's 3-1 in the NCAA tournament, which is really important. He's 5-2 in the postseason. Sam Purcell is learning on the fly as a head coach, and he's winning while he's doing it. He's going to be the winningest coach in 3 years in Mississippi State history. Mm-hmm. He's not competing for national championships right now, but what he's done has been, a really good job. I don't think it's fair the people that have tried to get him fired this year and call for his firing and things like that, I just don't think that that was fair. So I think he's doing a good job. I think right now, obviously, he's not going to Auburn. They just hired a new coach. And, you know, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it was trending that way after that buyout started to get discussed from what I was hearing, is when they found out how much money it was going to cost to get Sam Purcell. I think Auburn was, you know, thanks, but no thanks. So at this point, Sam Purcell is now building for the next season, and I think he's in a really good spot.
Agreed. I agree with you. All right, let's move on.
And also, I mean, just an excellent job, I thought, game planning for that Cal team. The execution that they had, the defensive game plan was fantastic, and it worked to perfection.
Yeah.
They get to play.
They played really, really well.
Now they get to play, you know, one of the top teams in the country, one of the best players in their home gym. So
I'll say this, though. If they can match that defensive effort, they had a chance.
Yeah.
A chance.
Well, here's the thing. They've played Texas this mm-hmm. year. They've Tough. Played South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They've played some really good teams.
Yeah, they're not going to be intimidated, I don't think. It's just
no.
It's just a talent issue. But we'll see what happens. All right. To the men. And if you watched a single Mississippi State game this year, you probably weren't surprised. If you're somebody like me and Robbie who watched them all, I mean, it went the way you probably thought it was going to go. State, this is how I put it on Friday on Sports Talk Mississippi. When State needed a stop, they couldn't get one. And then when they needed to make a shot, they couldn't make one.
Yeah. So
they would get a stop and then couldn't make a shot. Or they would make a shot, but then they couldn't get a stop. And the roller coaster just kept rolling all the way to the end. And State gets knocked out of the tournament by Baylor. Not overly surprising, but at the end of the day with the season, I don't think the result of the season, going back to the NCAA tournament, I would not classify that as a disappointment. You know, that's where this program, making the tournament consistently is doing well. But when you look at this team and you look at the pieces, it feels like this was a team that underachieved. And I think if Chris Jans was talking to us, I think he would tell you the same, that this team had had a higher ceiling than it achieved.
Yeah, he did say as much okay. post-game the other day too. And, you know, he said just that. I think Sam was the guy that asked him the question post-game at the press conference just about the season and all. And, you know, he said, well, we want to be clear, this is – it should never be, you know, scoffed at or, you know, just dismissed that we make the tournament. That's always a big deal. To be able to get to the tournament is one of our goals and is a big, you know, it's a big accomplishment. But at the end of the day, they didn't accomplish what they needed to do, and that was win inside the tournament. And there were a lot of games that they let go by the wayside this year. And in that sense, it was a disappointment. I don't think that this team really got a lot better this year. Mm-hmm. They were frustrating. They didn't take coaching very well. I heard Chris Jans several times throughout the game on Friday yelling at the players to stop settling for three-point shots. And was telling them, this isn't what we talked about. Paint touches. Get the ball inside. This was not the game plan. We're settling for bad shots. That stuff happened constantly this year, where I think he was just battling that with these players. And I don't know if it was just not listening, not wanting to listen. I have a hard time. It was that. But this team, for whatever reason, there was just some kind of disconnect between them and Chris Jans. I thought that it never seemed like they really gave up in many games, but they just didn't have the same level of consistent play or consistent intensity that we've seen from the last two teams. Their last two teams, they just couldn't score outside of Josh Hubbard. They just couldn't find ways to score. But you never questioned their toughness, and you never questioned, you know, their intensity and their defense. Mm-hmm. But this team lacked that a lot this year, especially on the defensive end. And it showed up in this game, man. I thought State had the sizable advantage, pun intended, on the boards, and they just got beat. 15 offensive rebounds. Over 20 second chance points, a lot of turnovers that turned into points as well. This team just at Baylor just wanted it more.
And that's a disappointment because, as you said, the previous two seasons under Chris Jans, you never felt like the effort and the want to was questionable. And with this team, what you just described and being on site there in Raleigh and being able to hear that's very frustrating. That's very discouraging that he's telling his guys, do this. And this is one of those things where, coaches get the blame. And they get paid big bucks, and they deserve to wear some blame. But at the same time, we'll talk more about that later. But that being said, like you said, he's telling his guys, do this, and then they go out and do the exact opposite of it. There's not a lot a coach can do. He can't bench the whole team. He can't pull a Norman Dale and just, oh, my team's on the floor. He's got to go out there and try to win the game as best he can.
That happened a lot this year. There was a lot of things that it wasn't coached. It was just players not executing or players not doing what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. Very disappointing into a disappointing season. But at the same time, I'm still positive about the program. I know we talked about it last week, the article from Jamie Shaw. I know Mississippi State is going to be incredibly active in the transfer portal. They have some outstanding freshmen coming in this class. You've got two big pieces to build around with Josh Hubbard and Keyshawn Murphy. And, we'll see who returns from this squad. But I don't have any doubt that State will go out and do everything they can to rebuild this basketball program and put it right back in position to make the tournament. And, next year it's just going to be about getting a higher seed and getting a better matchup and, going from there. From what I saw today from Baylor, it wouldn't have if State had won, it would have been a one and done. They would have won that game, and that would have been great. It would have been great to win that game. You weren't beating Duke. Duke is a different kind of animal there.
People would have been perfectly okay with
State. I think so. I think people would have been, yeah, because it would have just shown another step of progress, right? It would go from play-in game to in the tournament to in the second round, and then next year maybe you talk about making the Sweet 16 or something like that. So it's one of those things where two things can be true at the same time. I understand the frustration of three straight first round or whatever exits without winning a game. I understand the why that bothers people. But at the same time, I look at the whole and I say, the program is clearly moving in the right direction. He's recruiting at a high level. We're going to spend a boatload of money in the transfer portal this year and go out and get some players to build around Hubbard and Murphy, who I think can both be, I mean, Hubbard certainly, but Murphy is a potential all-SEC guy next year. If he comes back as a starter, he is a guy that you feel can go in there and be a 15, 16-point a game, 8, 9, 10 rebound a game kind of guy for you at the five position. And I like Nwoko, too. I think he's a solid depth piece for Mississippi State. I mean, and hell, honestly, with an offseason, he might be able to take a big step forward. I feel pretty good about that. So
yeah, he showed some flashes.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's just, you got to get a point guard, go out, get a couple of more wingers that can play defense at a higher level. I think one thing Jans needs to do in this offseason is it'd be great to have good shooters, but I think Jans needs to settle more for his identity. He needs to find defenders. And if they make more shots, great. If not, I think he got away from what he wanted to do this year a little bit.
Solidify your defense at least. Yeah. But they still need the offense. That's the thing.
They still, but you don't need to be given – you can't give up the kind of points State gave up. You can be a little worse offensively if you're a lot better defensively is what I would
say. Yeah. And maybe that's finding defensive specialists and mixing them with more offensive guys.
Yeah.
I am fascinated to see how this all season goes. Yeah. This is the same way that I was last year.
Well, if you're talking about dropping, we have two pieces of information courtesy of On3, right? We have Pete Nakos telling us that he believes this roster costs about $5 million to put together, the one that we just saw. And then you hear Jamie Shaw report.
And I don't know if it's that much, but maybe. Well,
that's what he said. I mean, that's what he reported. So I'm just going to go with that, right? And then you hear Mississippi State from Jamie Shaw is one of the teams they're saying is throwing around big money this offseason. That makes me think they're throwing around more money than $5 million. So if they're going to, put some money out there, and you kind of got to, right? You got a good coach. You want to keep him happy. You want to keep him going the right direction. Somebody on your message board, I'm blaming you for this. Some idiot came on there and was like, I don't think we should fire Jans, but we should definitely cut his NIL. Why don't you just fire him?
Hey, let me be very clear.
Hmm.
That is a six-pack speak poster.
That's a non-sports.
So that comes from the origin. The origin is from your board.
No, I have. I've removed my. I have removed.
You helped create it. That's one of your people. That would be asinine to just start cutting money. That would be.
Imagine the thought process there. Like, we're not going to fire you, but this year you only got $1 million to work with. He'll just quit.
Yeah.
So.
And then the next guy you get is
not coming.
You're going to limit yourself from a coach standpoint there.
Yeah, who's the third assistant at Clemson? Go get him. By the way, speaking of Jans, Casey, it looks as if Iowa is going to hire Drake's head coach. Ben McCollum is his name.
Yes.
So I know that name, that job had been connected to Chris Jans by some internet folks, but no chance. Jans.
I talked to people in Raleigh, some national people in Raleigh, and we were talking about that job and just talking about how it made sense with Chris Jans just because of the connection to Iowa.
A hometown connection.
But they are not investing in NIL right now like Mississippi State is.
They were mentioned in the article of Jamie Shaw as one of the teams not flashing a lot of cash. Plus, their coach made $1 million less a year than Jans. So, I mean –
I think state fans just perpetually have this negative thought process about their own school. And at the end of the day, things are not nearly as bad for Mississippi State from a resource standpoint as you believe. And I think they've just heard it from so many people elsewhere that they've become, kind of hardened to it and they believe it too. But at the end of the day, Mississippi State, from a resource standpoint, is in a very good spot. With basketball, football, and baseball, and a lot better spot than people think.
Yeah.
And I realize that the results haven't really netted anything crazy, but State right now is paying a coach that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game over $4 million.
Probably going to get a raise.
And they're supplying him. Yeah, he's probably going to make over 4.5, I would imagine, next year. They're supplying him with NIL resources that is competitive nationally. So it's going to be really difficult for Chris Jans to turn that down to go somewhere that has lesser resources in that regard. So State's in a good spot right now. And they have – I realize the gripes people have of Chris Jans too. He hasn't won a tournament game, but I would much rather have him at Mississippi State than not.
Yeah,
He's building something really good. They've been to three straight tournaments. At some point, he's going to tinker enough with what he wants, and he's going to get exactly what he needs from a player perspective to compete at a very high level.
I agree.
You just got to keep knocking on that door. You got to continue that consistency. And, I mean, this is his best recruiting class he's had that's coming in. And one thing, too, that I think Mississippi State really desperately needs is some continuity on the roster and development with some of these high school kids. I just don't think that turning your roster over with your main impact guys every single year is sustainable. I think you have to have some development with kids that you recruited that can kind of bridge the gap with these other guys, which in fairness, like Jans has pretty much done. He's had Cam Matthews that he inherited.
Mm-hmm.
He recruited Josh Hubbard. Keyshawn Murphy's been here.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Jones has been here.
Tolu was here, and DJ Jeffries was here. They were part of the group. Shaq Moore and Rams Davis. So
right now the biggest gripes you have are those transfer portal players.
Yeah. So what you're going to hope for is what you're saying here is that you look ahead to let's say to next season, right? That there would be 26-27, right? Hubbard's a senior. I guess Murphy's gone.
25-26.
No, I'm talking about the season after.
Oh. My bad.
So Hubbard's gone. Hubbard's still here. He's a senior. I think Murphy's gone at that point. But you hope that T. Bartlett's ready to take over at the center position. You got King Grace there as a winger. You've got a couple other freshmen coming in. You got Davis Fleming coming in this year. You hope that he can contribute big as a sophomore. Maybe Sam Funchess. You haven't gotten him committed yet, but you're hopeful that you can. And then, you know, if you can make it to 27, I think that's when Dampier's kid is a senior. If it's not 27, it's 28.
It's 28, I think.
Okay. That's when you're going to talk about bringing an elite player to Mississippi State. You know, in all likelihood, State will be a big favorite in his recruitment. He'll have offers from everybody, but State will be a big favorite in his recruitment, and you're hopeful that he can kind of be the guy that Malik Newman was supposed to be for you. And we'll see.
Different position, but yeah.
Much different player, but yeah, that's what you
need. Yeah, I'm interested to see how he develops. He's just, like, right
he's
now,
young,
he's
so
massive
big.
Kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, very young. But, I mean, he obviously, his dad is, you know, helping coach. His dad is a basketball-savvy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's being coached really well. And obviously one of the best coaches in Mississippi history, Richard DeWeese, is his coach too. And I think he has a pretty good AAU coach as well. So, I mean, he should develop. And he's got the skill and the size.
Yeah. That's something for down the road. So another season comes to an end for Mississippi State. And we'll see what happens. Like you said, the offseason for Chris Jans will be very, very fun to watch. Let's move into the second half of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And, of course, the older brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. We do love to eat at those two places. If we are in Starkville, you are likely to find one of us, if not both of us, enjoying a fine meal at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother. You should do the same. The next time you're going to be in Starkville, make a beeline to the Cotton District, park your car, and walk over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother to have a great, great meal. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
Oh, need to get that guy from the store. He had more enthusiasm.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, in fairness, when I saw him, State had not lost two baseball games in a row, so. Yeah, they're still 1-0 on the weekend.
Yesterday was the science. I don't know if we can call that.
Today is just a loss. It's just how it went. Wherever you are in our great state, if you're looking for business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. They're a Mississippi business just like you. That means if there's a problem, they can get out to service it probably the same day, 24 hours, no problem. Unlike some of these other places, when you call them and they tell you it's a week to 10 days to get, imagine your copier breaking and they got to tell you a week to 10 days with no copies. How does that work? You can't do it. You need to talk to Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, if you're going to be here, you need to be at Maroon & Co. for some new gear. You need to check out the biggest and best selection of it in all of Starkville. Everything you're looking for, warm weather, cold weather, hats, T-shirts, stuff for the tailgate, for the car, the house, whatever it is, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off your order. Regular price items. Some exclusions will apply. Make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. next time you are in Starkville, Mississippi. Let's just do some math to start this off, all right? If you are a person who's going to sit there and look at me and say, this team can still host, Mississippi State baseball can still host, they have to go 17-7 the rest of the way. Am I right?
I haven't even done it because I've put that out of my mind at this point.
I have too. I did the math.
If this team hosts, it was the most epic turnaround for
a
team.
They're 1-5. They need to go 18-12. So 17-7 the rest of the way. And that's also, you can't lose. You could maybe lose one more non-conference, but it would depend.
That's with you got road series at LSU and Alabama in mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's coming to Duty Noble.
Auburn. You got to go to Auburn, right?
Got to go to Auburn.
They're good. Florida's coming here.
Those are four teams right there, I would say, with a pulse.
Yeah. Ole Miss has a pulse. You got to play them.
Yeah, their pitching outside of Friday is – I mean, they can win that, but
– But, I mean, what are we talking about here?
We'll add them to the mix, yeah, five.
So you got to win – I mean, you're basically going to have to win almost every series and get a sweep or two in there. There's no getting around that. If you want to talk about this team going to the postseason, all right, I think with this team and where their RPI is, 14 and 16 is probably the number for them. I don't think they can get with 13. I don't. So that means
it would be close. 14 would secure them. That 14 is the magic number always.
Always. 13 would be tough with this team because they don't play a lot of the top part teams in the conference. Although that seems to be turning around a little bit. Alabama.
They wouldn't have a ton of bad losses.
Right.
But the problem is they don't have a lot of good wins.
They don't have any good wins, yeah. So 13 and 11 is my number for that. So that's just two games over 500. So I will tell you that this team can still play in the postseason. I will tell you that that is still a possibility. But, brother, they got to turn this around. I don't know that I've ever seen an infield error cycle before. I've watched a lot of baseball in my day. I don't remember a game ever where the first baseman, second baseman, shortstop, and third baseman all had an error in one game. I do not remember it. I'm sure it's happened. I do not remember it. State pitched the ball so well on Friday. Pico Khan had a great day. 2-1 win. You're like, all right, they're off and running. And then defense and pitching just abandoned them on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's game is just, I mean, just a miserable affair. You fall behind 7-0. You come all the way back to 11-10, and then you give it away in the last couple of innings. And then Sunday, you had some opportunities to make that a big lead when you were up 3-2. You had bases loaded with one out, and you hit into a double play. And from there, Oklahoma gets the lead back, and then they just go from there. And it's just now they're 1-5, and they got to go to LSU this week. Robbie, I'll tell you this. I will change some predictions here for you. If they get swept at LSU, and LSU is a wounded tiger right now. They just lost 2 out of 3 to Texas.
But they've still lost like 3 games all year. It's a crazy thing.
If they get swept at LSU and they're 1-8, I'm writing off postseason play. That's where I'll say it's over. I'm still going to hold. I'll hold on to the slightest hope of postseason play. Hosting is done though. It's done for me. There's no way.
Yeah, they've come back from 1-6. Well, they're 1-6 and 18. I think they were 1-6 at one point, and they came back and ended up making postseason. But they had to sweep like Florida and Arkansas.
And didn't host.
No.
Yeah.
Get hosting out of your mind right now. That's gone until State goes on a magical run or something. This team isn't hosting, and I don't have a lot of. I think we have enough data at this point, Brian. I don't have a lot of hope in this thing being totally different moving forward. As long as Chris Lemonis is the coach here, I think we've seen enough. I think we've seen exactly what Mississippi State's going to be under Chris Lemonis. It's a badly coached team. They don't do the little things right. We've had the same conversation about Mississippi State baseball for the last 4 years. And that's enough data. I don't need any more data. I'm now on the record saying last year they won 17 SEC games in spite of that. Mm. You had a Jake Mangum character and David Mershon, a team leader, take charge. That's the kind of guys that Chris Lemonis needs to get things going because it's obvious. I mean, the teams they've had that have been successful, they've had difference makers from a leadership standpoint in the locker room. And I just don't – the 2 years they won 9 SEC games, they didn't have that. This year, I don't see a David Mershon figure it out, will himself to get on base, whatever, staying in the pitcher's – behind the pitcher, you know, comforting him, lifting him up. I don't see that. I see a team right now that doesn't have that leadership. And I see a team that doesn't do the little things right. And that's a constant with these teams. Doesn't matter what the roster looks like from year to year. Doesn't matter who's out there. This team finds a way to make base running errors, defensive miscues, coming up empty in clutch at bats, pitching decisions that come back to bite them, walks, wild pitches, you know, throwaways at first base.
They're so bad behind the plate. They're so bad.
The catching situation is despicable. They gave up 16 stolen bases in 17 attempts in the past 2 days. Just despicable. And when they did throw it down to second, it's thrown into center. It was absolutely gross. They had one play on Sunday where they had the shift on, and Oklahoma, this is a well-coached team. This is a well-coached team and savvy players. State has a shift on. Oklahoma's still second. Dylan Cup is standing on second as the ball comes in. The guy just keeps running because there's no one on third base.
Right. That's just
what. And they saw that.
Yeah.
We can steal second right here, and nobody's going to be covering third, so take off.
And that turned into a run.
Turned into a run. And first inning, walk, stolen base, sacrifice fly, ground out. That is a team that is playing winning baseball. There's nothing special about Oklahoma. There's not a single thing special about them. Their stats stats are middle to the lower part of the league on offense and pitching. And what they do is they steal bases, they play small ball, they take care of the little things, they play good defense. They didn't make hardly any defensive miscues that I can remember on the weekend. They have a great Friday night starter, and that's why they're sitting here at 20-3 right now. And Mississippi State, who is top half of the league in most of the pitching categories, and they've been solid offensively in most of those categories, you're sitting there going, this doesn't make sense. If you look at the stats, they're 15-9, but they have one of the best pitching staffs in the SEC from a strikeouts and ERA standpoint. Their power is not bad, but they're still losing. And why is that? Because the little things that this team does is detrimental, and it's lost them pretty much every game they've lost this year.
We just described the basketball team.
Yeah.
The two teams are similar. By the way, apparently this is just not the year for defense in the city of Starkville. Football, basketball, baseball, nobody can play defense.
Well, women's basketball will do it.
Women's basketball have to carry the torch for that one. It's just a painful watch right now because it's just like the basketball team. I know this team is better than it's playing. They have talent. You know, Reese, Sullivan, Hines had a really good weekend at the plate.
Yeah.
You've got some guys there, and then you've got some talented pitchers there. I know Ben Davis had a really rough outing, but Ligon pitched okay on Sunday, and Pico was great on Friday night. You've got some decent relievers here and there, but gosh, it's like you said, they find ways to lose. They don't find ways to win. They find ways to lose. And
yep.
I mean, I've said it so many times.
That's a badly coached team.
I say it all the time, man, that for me, the standard is going to be hosting. And again, I'll say this because I know somebody is going to say something about it. Whatever the standard was prior to 2018, I don't really care. All right? In 2018, when you open a $70 million stadium, you built that so that you could host postseason baseball. And yes. You had three straight years of going to the College World Series. That's my standard. If they don't make it to Omaha every year, that's tough. I get that, right? But they got to be in the
– takes a lot of luck.
The minimum is to tell me they're one of the top 16 teams in the country so they can host. That is my minimum for Mississippi State baseball. And they're not any. They haven't been close to it. I mean, they were close last year, but not really. Not really. They lost too many easy games. They gave away so many games last year, it cost them. This year, hosting is, like I said, unless this team is going to win 17 of the final 24 conference games, they are not going to host. And so that'll be four years of not hosting after winning a national title. You know, when you win a national title, we've said it so many times, you win a national title, the program was supposed to elevate, was supposed to take off at that point. And instead, it's reached a new low.
It's reached a new low, and they haven't capitalized at all on that. And in any way, the recruiting hasn't gotten better. The wins have not come. You've had a 36-60 record in SEC play. Just think about that.
Yeah.
And like I said on Twitter, like I don't know how much more we can really hammer that home. We've been talking about that for 3 years about how that should never happen. Mississippi State should never have a year where they're 9-21 in the SEC, but they did it twice in a row. Mm-hmm. They should never have 3 years out of four where, you know, you have a losing record in the SEC, which is possible with this team. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. They should never have four consecutive seasons where they don't host in that stadium.
I agree. I agree with everything you're saying.
You're exactly right. That is not the standard of Mississippi State baseball. Anybody involved in that should have done everything that it took to make sure that didn't happen. And now we're in year four of mediocrity. And that is unacceptable on every level. You're getting paid. Chris Simonis is getting paid, I don't know where he is now, but at the time, one of the highest paid coaches in America. And, you know, we're seeing these results each and every week. And if anybody questions it, people get mad about it. This is one of the biggest programs in college baseball. This is a fan base that, despite putting a losing product on the field now 4 years in a row, continues to invest in the program, continues to show up for games. Anywhere else, people are not showing up for these ball games.
Right.
These people are still coming to games and giving money and investing. And we're being told, like, just be happy that you won a national championship 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
That's unacceptable. And year four after that happened, to still be trying to figure it out, that's quite frankly just unacceptable.
I say it all the time. Like, Georgia, Kirby Smart wins back-to-back national titles. If he followed that up with losing season, Liberty Bowl, and looking like they're headed towards another losing season, he doesn't get to the third losing season. He gets fired after the second one. There's no question. You know, if
I think there's a lot of people that's involved in this that they don't like the expectations. There's a lot of people close in this baseball program. They don't like the pressure. They don't like these expectations like this. And that's a problem to me. This is what you sign up for, man. And I mean, we got a lot of money being poured into this program for not a lot of results. And at the end of the day, eventually somebody's got to put their foot down and say this can't happen anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that transpires. I don't know if that's Chris Lemonis trying to figure something out here and making a change for the better. I thought he did that with Justin Parker, but on his end, we're not seeing the results defensively. I mean, we're having to hear post game about all the things that they screwed up on, but we're hearing about that every single game.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's the Joe Moorhead point the thumb, not the finger.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to do something about it. And if it's not Chris Simonis, then eventually it's going to have to be somebody at Mississippi State. So we'll see how that transpires. But 15-9 at this point, and 1-5 in SEC play, that's not getting it done, man.
Nah, no question. Like you said, going to LSU next week, that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be very, very tough. We'll see how it goes.
And Stanford's always solid.
Stanford, yeah, that's a good program. They are a NCAA tournament regular.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just – I don't know, man. I don't know. I get the feeling we're going to have a lot to talk about in the coming weeks. So we'll get through it. All right, this week on the show, we'll catch up on some football. We got spring football here at Mississippi State to talk about. We haven't gotten this week's events yet, have we? Have we gotten it?
No.
Okay, so I assume we'll talk.
I imagine it's going to be non-eventful.
Yeah.
For us, at least.
Probably get to see Levy once and then see some players. We'll see how that goes.
We're going to see some stretching at practice.
Well, that's all that you'll get to. I don't waste my time going out there for that.
Well, I don't think I am either. I didn't learn anything the other day. I'm not going to
–
I have to maneuver so many things around just to go to that and get to see them stretching.
I laughed. You put it in the group. You were like, blah, blah, blah. You'd say whatever. And I was like, why are you there?
Well, I wanted to see – I at least got to see some of the new faces. I wanted to see what they look like, on the field.
Yeah. Well, when we talk to Levy, we'll have something from that. We'll catch up. We got Kentucky and LSU for spring previews this week. Also, I'm going to make an attempt. I haven't reached out just yet, but I want to get Coach Samantha Ricketts on the podcast. Her team is smoking hot right now, and they've got a big series coming up. I believe they're playing Texas this weekend, who is the number one team in the nation in softball here in Starkville. That's the All for Alex weekend, I believe. I could be wrong on that. So that's that'll be very emotional and a chance to play the number one team in the nation when you're one of the hottest teams in the country, taking each of their first three weekend series here, two in the SEC, and then they beat Northwestern this past weekend. So we'll try to see if we can get Coach Ricketts on with us as well. Guys, have a great Monday, and Robbie and I'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk. Get up, drop the bombshell. Get up, drop the bombshell. Get up, drop the bombshell.
the bombshell, straight to the track. The 21st century killing machine burned on the inside of five-headed team. Now I'm not the same, because you're not the same.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.